Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Haftorah Parsha Zohar. We have about a half an hour. Haftorah Parsha Zohar is one of the most exciting Haftorahs. Trivia question. It's a hard one. I mean, now you know the answer, but it's a hard one. I love trivia, by the way. Trivia question. The only time you could lane the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row. You remember this question?
I remember the question, I remember the answer.
Oh.
When you go to Israel when you're married.
I know the question.
Not that if you're like, you're off a Parsha and you hear the same Parsha in America and then, not that. That
is an answer.
That is an answer, but you're the same shul, the same place, you're in the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row. So the answer is, when it's a Purim Meshulash, meaning when Purim is on Friday, so that's as called, so and outside of Yerushalayim, it's Purim, right? It's Purim, everything's Friday. But Shushan Purim, when Shushan Purim is on Shabbos, they have a 3-day split up in Yerushalayim. What do they do in Yerushalayim? Friday is the Megillah and Matanos Lavionim. Because Matanos Lavionim always goes with the Megillah. Shabbos is Al Hanisim and the laning of Purim for Maftir. And Sunday is the Su'udah and Mishloach Manos. 2-2-2. They have a Su'udah Purim without Al Hanisim. Right, that's Purim Mishulish in Yerushalayim. So on Shabbos, you lane Purim as Maftir. What's the Haftorah for Purim? Parsha Zachar. So in Yerushalayim, they lane Parsha Zachar the week before with this Haftorah, and then the following week, it's Purim, and they have, so it's the only time you could ever have the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row. Once every couple of years. Whenever Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, it's a Purim Meshulash. Right, so whenever Erev Pesach, those two always go together. That's why Rav Rimon Sefer on Erev Pesach Cholis B'Shabbos is also about Purim Meshulash. Is also, I think so, if I remember. Okay, so you have the Haftorah there. It's the great story. Remember the story? Shaul HaMelech is king, and Shmuel says, go wipe out Amalek, go wipe out Agag. And let's read some of the Pesukim. Let's just go around and read some of the Pesukim to remind. He says, go wipe out Amalek. So what happens? Pasuk Zayin. We'll start with you, Yishai. Let's go around. Read the Pesukim. Vayach Shaul as Amalek.
Mechavila.
Shaul up a name Mitzrayim. So Shaul killed out a lot of them. Vayitpos, he grabbed.
Vayitpos as Agag, Malach, Amalek, Chayv, Eskol, Am, Harim, Nechar.
Right, he took Agag as a hostage. Right, he was supposed to kill him. But instead he took him as a hostage. So what happened? What is Vayachmol? Chemla, compassion. Right? Shaul had, and the Am had compassion on Agag and on the animals. They didn't want to destroy them. They didn't want to kill them. All the stuff that they didn't really want, that they left there and destroyed. But all the animals and Agag, they brought back. You got the Nakudas. Okay. You got an easy one. So Shaul did this. So Shaul had this, didn't do all this. And then Hashem appears to Shmuel and says, I'm very upset. Can you read another one? I'm upset. He did not do what I asked him to do. So Shmuel had appointed Shaul as the king. And here he's saying that I'm upset. I'm upset that I made him the king. He didn't follow my word. So Shmuel gets up early and he goes to Shaul. And Pasuk Yud Gimel. Go Binyamin, Vayabo.
Oh, we
skipped Yud Beis. Yes, okay. I'm sorry if you had prepared it. I'm sorry. Vayabo Shmuel al Shaul Vayomer Lo. It's a shorter one. Yeah. Shmuel comes to Shaul, Vayomer Lo Shaul, and Shaul sees him coming and he says, Lashem. Baruch Hashem, Shaul says, Shmuel, welcome. Give me a pat on the back. I hakimosi, I fulfilled the Dvar Hashem. Thank you very much. And what does Shmuel say? So for this one, you need the Nekudos. No, you read it. Pasuk Yudalad. Or you could bet. What? Oh, it's a great one. Right? This is onomatopoeia in the Navi. Remember that word from high school? Onomatopoeia? What's onomatopoeia?
Bakbuk.
No. Ding dong. Right? Ding dong is onomatopoeia. It's the sound that is make. Oh, I heard that recently a couple years ago. Right? Bakbuk. Yeah. There's a bottle because like when you like press it, bak.
When you drink it.
When you drink it, bak bak. Right? So that's all these sounds, ding dong or... So onomatopoeia, any sounds like that. So, ume kolatzon asher baznai. I hear some animals, but then just say, he says, meh, not ma. Right? Meh kolatzon. I think I hear some sheep here. Right? Sarcasm in the Navi, right here. Okay? So Shaul says... Right? Vayomer Shaul... Right, fine. Vayomer Shaul, may Amalek give him. Yeah, the animal. I brought him from the Amalekim. Asher chamal ha'am al-meitav atzon. Right, the Am had Rachmanis on its own. Laman zvoach lashe. I have them for I'm going to bring karbonis. I want to give them as karbonis. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, listen to me. Right, look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayomer Shmuel. We're going to come back to the Pesukim. Halo em katan ata be'inecha. You think you're small? Rosh shifte Yisrael ata. You're the head of the Shvatim. What is he saying? We'll see. Vayim shachara Hashem lemelech al Yisrael. Hashem made you the king. Hashem made you the king. Pasuk Yutes. V'lama lo shamata b'chol Hashem. Why didn't you listen? Why didn't you listen? Hashem said, wipe out the people, wipe out the animals, everything. Vayim rashol Shmuel. Pasuk Chaf. Who's got it? Next. I did listen. Right, Asher Shamati b'kol Hashem. What are you talking about?
Va'elech.
I did. Va'yikacham, the Am brought from the Shalal, the Chulu. And Shmuel says a very biting line, Pasachav Beis. Va'yomer Shmuel. Hechafitz l'Hashem la'ola. You think Hashem wants your karbanos more than he wants you to listen to him? I gave out the Parsha sheet yesterday. So Rabbi Sachs talks about this pasuk in that article. Right? Karbanos aren't just like magic. Hashem would rather you listen to him than to give karbanos. Shmoa mizevach tov. Listening to him is better than a karban. And then finally, pasuk chaf dalid, Shaul says, Shmoa chatasi, Adan saying, b'chul. Okay. What's the message of this haftorah for us? Three messages. One of them we already said in yesterday's shir. Partly. So quick, let's try to do three messages of this. This is crucial. First message, and really it's part of a different question. Let's do another question. Shaul HaMelech sins here, and guess what? Because he sins here, he lost the Malchus. David HaMelech did not lose the Malchus for his sins. He also sinned. Bathsheba, he counted the people. So why did Shaul lose the Malchus for his sins while David didn't lose the Malchus for his sins? That's a question the Rishonim ask. Even Chazal deal with it. Betting a question? Shaul's sins didn't cost him the Malchus. David's didn't. Question one. Question two. As a Rebbe, I get many phone calls. In a couple of years, I'll be getting phone calls about you also, about Talmidim that were in my shir. You know, tell me about him. How was he? Was he serious? He's a serious guy. Tell me about his family. I get calls all the time. So if somebody would call me and tell you, know, my daughter's going out with this guy. His name was David Ben Yishai. Could you tell me a little bit about his family? Yes. Great family. His great-grandmother is a Moabite. His ancestors, yeah. You ever hear of Rus and Boaz? Yud and Tamar? Lot and his daughters? Great family. Like, what's going on here? The murky roots of David HaMelech. You would think David HaMelech, the father of Mashiach, would have perfect lineage. Everything excellent. And there are four clearly stories. Every story could be explained. That's true. Lot's daughters thought that, you know, he was the only one left in the world, and they had to have beer with him because they were the only one left. And Yehuda and Tamar had Ruach HaKodesh, that she was supposed to be with him, and Boaz and Ruth. Every story, they were righteous. But it's still like, what? This is in David HaMelech's background. The murky roots of Melech HaMashiach. So, got the two questions? Why does David not lose his malchus and Shaul did? Second question, why all these murky roots? So I gave we could give a whole shiur on that, the murky roots of Melech HaMashiach. There are four or five different approaches. I'm just mentioning one. There's a line in the Shem Yishmuel. I feel very, it's pretty intense right now what I'm about to say, because I've quoted this very often in this shiur, but who said it? Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht. This was his office, I think. This was his, right there. Yeah, there he is. The founding Rosh Hashiva. So there's one line in the Shem Yishmuel, and he expanded on this. It's a very radical idea, but it's very, very, very cool, very intense. He quotes here, in source number 3, it's the Shem Yishmuel, but expanded on by Rav Goldwicht. David HaMelech, say it this way, to be a king is not naturally something Jewish. You know, for one Jew to rule over another Jew, that's not natural. We're all one unit, we're all one goof, one body. So it's not natural to be like a king. David HaMelech needed some Moabite blood in him in order to be a successful king and monarch. It's just the way it had to be. Because to be a proper king, you have to rule over the people. You can't just be one and buddy-buddy with the people. He quotes this from the Kutzker, actually. The Shem Yishmuel quotes from the Kutzker, and then Rav Goldwicht explains. Basher Kol Yisrael Kish Echad Hema, all Jews are like one. Eino Shach Echad Yistachar Echadera. One person can't rule over the other one. Just like your right arm doesn't get mad at your left arm. Right? If you bang in a hammer and miss it. So that's why they had to get a little, because David was going to be the king, he had to have this. This at least explains the Rus and the Rus. Maybe not the other stories. But say the Rus, he had to have a little Moabite blood in him in order to be a proper king. What was the problem with Shaul versus David? David HaMelech had Averis. Yeah, he sinned, but his Averis were personal. Taiva. David and Batsheva. They were personal sins. He counted the people. Maybe he was anxious. He was nervous about his army. Shaul's sins had to do with being the Melech. That's the problem. Because what was the root of his sins? And now let's go look back at the Psukim over and over again. What was the problem? Anybody hear this before? What was the problem with Shaul HaMelech? It wasn't Stam, he didn't wipe out Amalek. Why didn't he wipe out Amalek?
He was afraid of the people.
He was afraid of the people, exactly. He was so focused on what the Am thought. Look back at the Psukim. What's these animals? Oh, the Am wanted to bring Karbanos. Right? I didn't do it, it was the Am. I didn't give it to you, but there's an earlier story in Sefer Shmuel where Shaul was supposed to wait for Shmuel to bring Karbanos. A week. He waited a week, and then he was waiting and waiting and waiting, and the Am started to disperse, to leave. He's like, I can't wait anymore. He gave the Karbanos, and 10 minutes later Shmuel came. It's like, what were you doing? He's like, I couldn't wait anymore, the Am was leaving. Because that was the problem. That's why he lost his malchus. Because his sins had to do with being the melech. It wasn't just personal. Right, there's another story. Right, remember the story in source number 4. David HaMelech finally brings the Aron back to Yerushalayim. Remember, he had to start once, and then Uzzah died. And he brings the Aron back. And David, the story, Pasuk Yudalit on the top of the next page, page 3, Mecharker B'cholos, remember, he's dancing, he's celebrating. David is celebrating. And after the whole day, he brings the Aron back to Yerushalayim, the best day of his life. He comes home, he collapses on the couch. Even before that, I'm sorry. Before that, while he's dancing, the Pasuk says, where's the Pasuk? Pasuk Tezayin. Michal, his wife, Michal Bas Shaul, as if we don't know who she's the daughter of. Michal Basha looks out the window and thinks it's disgusting that David's dancing like that. He rolls up his sleeves and he gets sweaty in front of the whole Am. That's what the Pasuk says. U'michal Basha nishkva barachalon. And David's dancing. So he comes back at the end of the day. He falls on the couch. He's like, honey, can you make me a cup of coffee? What a day this was. And what does Michal say? Another sarcastic line. Right? Pasuk Chaf. What a great day when every maidservant in the land saw your arms. What a great day, honey. Right? That's what it says. Manichbara o melech Yisrael sher nigla hayom l'enimos. David answers her. It seems like a non sequitur. You know what that means? Like an answer to something that he didn't. What happened? You know what David says? I'm the king, not your father. That's what the pasuk says. I'm the king, not your father. What's the answer to the question? So the Medrash on that pasuk says, you know what? She was saying, my father would never act this way. My father was always had his suit on, his button covered, rolling up his sleeves and getting sweaty and dancing like crazy in front of the Am, in front of the Aaron. My father would never do that. You know what David says? You're right, and that's why he lost the Malchus. Because he cared a lot about what the Am thought. He was a tzaddik, he was wonderful, but he cared a lot about that, and that's why he wasn't a successful king. I do what I know is right. I knew what Hashem wants me to do. And that's why, that's what the Sefer Hikarim says in source number 6. That's why David didn't lose the Malchus for his sins, because they were personal. While Shaul lost the Malchus. What's the message? This is all idea number one about the Haftorah. What's the message for us? We have to do what we know is right. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. We have mitzvahs, right? That's the first tour. Remember the first tour in Or HaChaim? Don't be scared. Don't be embarrassed. Do what's right. Because you know it's right. That's message number one. Remember we mentioned Moshe before, why his name was Moshe? Remember this? Right, he had many names. Avigdor, Avizanoach. But the name that stuck was Moshe. I never told you this year? Oh, one of my favorite varts of all time. Why the name Moshe? That's the name that stuck. The name that Basia gave him. And what does Moshe come from? Minamayim Ishisiyu. Pulled from the water. That's such a significant event that Moshe's named after that event. Well, let's take this home with you. Okay? Why is he, what's so significant? So I once heard in the name of Rav Amital. Water, you pour water into a bottle, it has the shape of a bottle. You pour water into a triangular container, it takes the shape of a triangle. Water represents the ultimate in conformity, conforming to its surroundings. Water conforms. Moshe was pulled from the water. Moshe was the anti-water. He did what he knew was right because he knew that's what he had to do. Right? Remember in Sefer Shmos, he goes out and he kills the Egyptian. Nobody else was doing that. He gets involved with Dasan and Aviram. He goes and shoos away the shepherds in Midian. You would think he wants to keep a low profile. No, Moshe is the anti-water. Because he knows what's right. He does what's right. He knows what he has to do. And that's David versus Shaul. Okay, that's message number one. Message number two is what we discussed yesterday. Okay, I'm not going to review that. You have a couple of the same sources. You see Rashi and the Shuvah Zanagos. Message number two is that the problem with Amalek and what we try to obliterate is the maybes and the suffix and chance. And the message of Amalek is to put a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our life always. Okay, so we're going to skip the next couple of sources which have to do with that. But let's go to the third idea, another message. Right, you have the Yichud. There's a great, this is copied from, there's a great art scroll book. They also have it in pocket edition. The Six Constant Mitzvahs. You have it? It's a great book. Great. So I just highly recommend it. The Six Mitzvahs Midios. Okay, last one. We're going to go to the back page. The last message. If you look back, the back page, but look back at the first page for a second also. There's an important message here that we get from the whole story. Right? Shaul comes and says, look what I did. It's great. Shmuel says, you did wrong. Look at the progression. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Shmuel says, I did it. Shmuel says, What's the animals? Why didn't you listen to Hashem? What is the first, what does Shaul say? Pasuk Chaf, I did listen. I did listen to Hashem. What's the problem? It was the Am that took from the animals. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, no. Hashem is not interested in those animals. Then what does he say? I did it. But I was scared of the Am. He gives an excuse. I did it, but I was scared of the Am. What does Shmuel do? Shmuel starts turning away. He starts walking away. Shaul grabs his cloak and he rips his cloak. Shmuel says, just like you ripped my cloak, your malchus is going to be ripped away from you. Shaul says, this is all here in the Pesukim, Shaul says, you know what, just walk back with me in front of the Am. The whole Am was watching this. Just don't embarrass me. Shmuel says, I'm not coming. Shaul says, Chatasi. I sinned. No excuses. Nothing. Shmuel says, okay, I'm coming back with you. This perek is a process of tshuva. First is denying that we even did it. That's what we do first. We deny it. No, I didn't do it. And then we say, oh, I did it, but, because. And then third, no excuses, I did it. That's what we learn. In contrast, remember the story with David and Bathsheba? And remember Nasan HaNavi comes to David and gives him a mashal and says, oh, there was a mashal, it was called Kifsat HaRash. There was a poor man that only had one little sheep and he slept with him and he loved him. And then there's a rich man that took away the sheep. And David says, terrible, Chayimisa. And what does Nasan HaNavi say? Two words. Ataha ish. You're that guy, David. You stole Uriah's sheep. You stole the wife. What's David's reaction to that? What's David's reaction to that? Chatasi Lashem. Pasuk 17. Source 17. I sinned. David HaMelech is the power. Shaul HaMelech got there at the end. But David is the symbol of tshuva. And you see, if you look, I don't have the text here, but if you look in the Tanakh, after Chatasi Lashem, there's like a space. There's an empty space there. And then Nasan HaNavi says to David, okay, it's going to be forgiven. The Vilna Gaon says, you know what the empty space is? David couldn't even get the words out. He was so choked up. He says, Chatasi Lashem, and then he broke down. He couldn't talk. He couldn't talk. It's unbelievable. That's the message of tshuva. To see things clearly. To see things clearly, no excuses. Right? There's a question about Rosh Hashanah. Right? There's a famous Yerushalmi, if you could say it, but this is a really famous Yerushalmi. You know, whenever people like hear, like say something and they don't know what the source is, they say, that's Yerushalmi. Right? So now I like have the schus of learning Yerushalmi, so I'm like, okay, you know, not everything's a Yerushalmi. Oh, it's a Zohar. Okay, but anyway, so the Yerushalmi says that why do we blow 100 kolos on Rosh Hashanah? Because the mother of Sisera cried 100 cries. And all the Bali Musar ask, what do we care about the mother of Sisera for? Right? It's like saying, the mother of Sinwar, right, cried 100 cries, therefore on Yom Kippur. Mother of Hitler, Yamach Shemam, all of them. What do we care? This was Sisera. How many Jews he must have killed? So what's the message? So I once heard many years ago, Rabbi Khan, maybe from YU, he says, in the psukim, described that Aim sister is looking out the window, waiting for her son to come home. Where's my sister-in-law? Where's my little sister-in-law, cutie pie? And she's looking, and where is he? And the sun starts going down, and her friends are saying, don't worry, he's probably getting women, he's probably getting spoils, don't worry. And as the sun goes down, and she realizes, he's not coming home. She realizes the truth. All the excuses fall away, and she sees the truth. That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is when the truth stares at us in the face and all the excuses fall away. I can't do this, I can't do this. That's Aim Sisera. That's the message of, right? Source number 20, that's with the psukim, right? Right? The message, Shaul HaMelech, we learn, no more excuses. By the end of the Haftorah, no more, just Chatasi. We have to try to see things clearly in our life. Not have excuses why we can't do things. I can't do this, I can't do that. We can do it. Right, that's what Rav Nevinzal says in one of his svarim on Purim. Right, Bnei Yisrael used to make excuses. Right, they say, I think I mentioned this yesterday. Right, one of the reasons they ate from the Suda because they went to the Suda. Imagine people that, well, we have to eat from the Suda. If we don't eat from the Suda, you know what how bad it's going to be. The Democrats are just going to like kill us, and they're going to think that we're not going to be part of the right. So. Who knows? Maybe they had some excuses. You know what the answer was? You're celebrating that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't rebuilt yet. See it clearly. See what you're doing. Clarity of vision in Avodas Hashem. That's the third message. So number one message was, we got to rule over the Am. We got to do what's right because we know this is what we have to do. Number two, the message of Safek, that was what we discussed yesterday. That's all the other courses. Number three, try to let all the excuses fall away and just do what we need to do in our Avodas Hashem. Right? And that's what we have to try to do best in our life. Okay? Mincha's in 15 minutes. We'll stop here. That's why I just got to run. I'm trying to make mincha in my shul at home because I have other things to do. Shkoyach. Okay, tomorrow morning. Those who are around, hopefully everybody's in for Shabbos. So 10:30 tomorrow morning. 10:30 tomorrow morning. Shir and Yoni.